You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. This week's message is week two of our teaching series titled, Inner Order, Outer Peace, Organizing Your Life Around the Things That Matter Most. For more information and to visit us online, visit us at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
For about the last 16 years of my life, I've taken an annual fishing trip with some of my closest friends out west. A couple of these guys have been taking this same trip roughly the second week of August for like close to 25 years. But it's an awesome thing to be a part of. These are great, great dudes, great fishermen. They're smart, they're driven, they're successful guys. They're great husbands, they're awesome dads. And best of all, they love Jesus. It's such a cool thing to be a part of. And every single year, there's always a moment when we're sitting around the fire together or we're sitting down to dinner where we realize, every year it's the same thing. We have this moment where we realize how fortunate we are to have this group of guys in our life. And every year, at least one of us will acknowledge that we're going like, man, I'm not sure that I know a lot of other guys who have a similar thing today. Maybe we're biased and we probably are. People got, you know, their own stuff, which is great. But either way, what we recognize and what we're grateful for is that our friendship has been really pretty special for so many years. Sadly, there are statistics actually that suggest, maybe would even confirm that what we have is kind of special, or at the very least would confirm that what we have is somewhat rare. In two separate places this week, I read that the amount of people who say that they have no close friends has quadrupled in the last three decades. I also read a report this week that loneliness in the U.S. right now is at the highest rate that it has been in the last couple years. Now, loneliness is an interesting subject if we just took a moment to look at it a little more closely today. Long ago, I listened to a presentation. I was at a conference, and there was a presenter talking about loneliness as it relates to various spheres of relationships in our life. And there was authors of a book who shared their findings, and they noticed something odd. They noticed something peculiar about people who reported to having feelings of loneliness. What they reported in these presentations that were being made to us, what they reported is that the people who they found were responding that yes to feeling certain feelings of loneliness, what they discovered is that these people, most of them were surrounded by people all day long. And this led them to an interesting discussion on the various kinds of relationships that A, that people have, and that B, that people ultimately need. Here's what they found, that there are ultimately five different kinds of relationships, five different spheres of relationships that exist. The first one around the outside you'll see is what we call a public sphere. This is a group that you are associated with that's typically like 500 people or more. This could be like a church, if it's that large, which Midcurrent's been like 500 or 600 people as of late. And so it's an association that you have with a big group like that, a church, or maybe it's your allegiance to, you know, like a team, the Vikings or the Packers, or you know, your alumni of some college, and that's the kind of group that you associate with in this public sphere. The second one is a social sphere, which is more like 25 to 75 people, and this is the kind of a group that exists. You know, if you said like, hey, let's throw a party, this group would be the invite list. I mean, these would be the people you'd say like, yeah, let's bring them all out. Let's get everybody together. Then there's a personal sphere, and this is 3 to 12 people, which would be like your real close friends. This would be like maybe a small group that you have, some kind of people in your life that you have committed to really doing life together. Then there's the relationship that they consider to be the intimate relationship. There's one spot for this. It's a spouse. It's a significant other. It's maybe like a lifelong best friend, or it's a mentor. It's somebody with whom you have a real deep and intense connection with. And then there is a spiritual sphere, which is obviously filled by God. In God alone. Now, what they discovered, here's what's fascinating about this. What they discovered is that people would report feelings of loneliness if even one of these spheres was not filled in their life. They could be surrounded by people all day long, big offices, big churches, whatever. You know, that people would report loneliness if even one of these spheres was not filled in their life. What they found is that loneliness, when people raised their hand saying, yeah, I'm feeling lonely today, loneliness wasn't the result of someone literally just like walking around by themselves. Like, I don't see anybody all day long. That's not what people were responding to as loneliness. It was not having each of these areas filled sufficiently in their life. If even one was not filled sufficiently, it would cause somebody to say, yeah, I think I'm feeling lonely. Now, I can't say for sure, but my guess is that most people probably are like struggling with the three there. I mean, big groups, I mean, I think so many of us have that, whether it's here at Midcurrent or whether, you know, it's again, sports teams or you're a UW or U of M alumni or some. I think a lot of us have those kind of big group associations. I would say that many of us have that 25 to 75 like invite list. Like, oh, if there's a party, we kind of know the crew to bring together. But my guess is, and this is just my opinion, my guess is it's really that like next level, the personal level. Whether it's a small group or some kind of close group of friends that gets real together, my guess is that's where it gets harder. Or maybe it's even with that intimate, that spouse or that significant other, that there's someone that you are just like lock solid. Or maybe the harder one for you or for others right now is that spiritual sphere, that relationship with God. If I had to guess, I'm guessing that those three are where things start to get a little tougher for us. I don't know how you would respond to that. I don't know how you would assess kind of where you find yourself in relation to those spheres. But no matter how you slice it, I think what is clear is that loneliness is a real problem. In fact, in 2023, I'm sure you've heard all this stuff before. In 2023, the Surgeon General declared loneliness to be an epidemic. Another study found that loneliness has the same impact on your health as, get this, smoking 15 cigarettes in a day. Then there was a June 2025 study from WHO, the World Health Organization, that estimates that there are around, this blew my mind, I had to like double check it, but there it is in the report, that the WHO estimates that there are around 100 deaths per hour linked in some way to loneliness. Loneliness, gang, I think is killing us physically, sadly, and at the same time, spiritually too. And so what I want to talk about today is what I think could be a huge part of the cure, a huge part of the solution to the loneliness that we are experiencing. And I want to talk about it all in the second week in our series, Inner Order, Outer Peace, where I am hoping to help us all learn to organize our life around the things that matter most. See, a lot of times I think that we tend to think that peace in our inner world, it comes from the order that we keep in our outer world, right? The phrase outer order, inner peace, or inner calm has become, you know, popular over the last few years. Meaning, if we can keep our homes in order or our physical environments in order, you know, if we can keep stuff out here, whether it's, you know, bank accounts and portfolios and resumes, and like, if we can keep that stuff in order, well, then that will lead to peace and you know, happy feelings inside of here. But what I've just been suggesting in this series is the opposite, that peace is not ultimately determined by the organization of our home or any other kind of exterior thing, but ultimately peace is the result of organization of our heart. And what I've been encouraging us to organize our hearts around, and what I've been encouraging us to make a greater commitment to, is three things: the Word of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. The Word of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. And the picture that I have wanted to try to provide for you to frame this series is this. It's these jars, which are ultimately your life. And these pebbles are all the things that you've, you know, like got to do or want to do or have to do, or things that you enjoy or willing to spend your money on. And then these tennis balls are ultimately what I'm suggesting are the Word of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. And here's the thing. It's the same size jars. It's the same exact, believe it or not, it's the same exact amount of pebbles on the inside, and the tennis balls are exactly the same size. The only difference of these two pictures is the order in which everything went in. Right? If you start with all the things that you'd prefer to do and have to do and want to do and really love to do and the hobbies that you have, if you start with all that stuff and then try to add in the Word of God and the people of God and the mission of God, it doesn't, if you try to add that stuff into a life that is already in orbit, it never really fits. But if you start the other way around, if you start with the Word of God and the people of God and the mission of God, which I know it's hard to see because they're buried in there, but that's kind of the point, right? If you start with those things and then add everything else in on top, magically, it all seems to fit together. And what I think we see then is that it's ultimately inner order that results with, you know, in outer peace that we are longing for in our life. And so last week I talked about organizing our life around the Word of God and what only it can actually produce in our life. And today I want to take some time to talk about organizing our life and our calendar and our priorities and ultimately our week around the people of God. And what I want to point out from the very start is that people, as this is the focus today, the people of God, what I want to point out is that people are actually the way that the Bible talks about and literally defines church as it existed in the New Testament. Here's an incredibly prominent passage of Scripture where Jesus alludes to the formation of what we consider to be the early church. It's Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Here's what he says to one of his closest followers at the time. He says, "Now I say that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church," he says. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and all of the powers of hell will not conquer it." Now, the word church here is the Greek word ekklesia. This is what Jesus says. "Upon this rock I will build my church," my ekklesia. And here's what you got to know. Ekklesia, it doesn't mean building. It doesn't mean location. It doesn't mean like big spectacular event. It doesn't even mean really meaningful, you know, worship service. Ekklesia, this word translated as church here, it literally means people. It's an assembly or it's a gathering of people who specifically in a Jesus following sense have gathered together for the purpose of putting their faith in Jesus like into action, to live out their faith in Jesus together. So here's what you can't miss when you put all this together. Jesus is ultimately saying, when he says, I will build my church, what he's ultimately saying is it is the people of God who come together in his name, people who are called according to his purposes and priorities in the world. He's saying it's the people who the powers of hell would not be able to conquer or to overcome. Talk about power to the people. Okay, what he's saying here is there's power in the people of God to change the world, but equally important here, what I want us to see is that there is power in the people of God to help change you, to help you grow and to help you thrive and to help you live a life more fully according to the way that God intended for you to live and to experience. The key to it all, however, is the degree of commitment that you make to that people, to the people of God. In his book, When Church Was a Family, New Testament scholar and New Testament professor, Dr. Joseph Hellerman, he writes this. He says, spiritual formation, which is the process that we become more like Jesus, right? Spiritual formation, he says, occurs primarily in the context of community. Persons who remain contented with their brothers and sisters in the local church almost invariably grow in self-understanding, and they mature in their ability to relate in healthy ways to God and to their fellow human beings. This is especially the case, listen to this, for those courageous Christians who stick it out, through the often messy process of interpersonal discord and conflict resolution. Get this, long-term interpersonal relationships are the crucible of genuine progress in the Christian life. He writes, people who stay grow, people who leave do not. And so, gang, what I think we see here is that we were, number one, created for community. But what I'd like to draw our attention to at the very same time is that ultimately community was created for us. This was actually the design from the very beginning. If we rewind all the way back in the creation story to the book of Genesis, there's actually two things that I want to draw your attention to that I think so easily we can just kind of gloss over too quickly. The first is this, when we see that God first creates Adam, the first ever human being. God creates Adam and he places him in charge in, you know, over all of the Garden of Eden. But then God realizes something. Here's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says this, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And now here's what's striking to me about like reading this verse, which I have read 1,000 times before and probably preached on hundreds of times before. What something about it struck me this week, what we see in this verse is this, that even in paradise, it was not good for man to be alone. Even in paradise, like loneliness was not a suitable option, right? The reality is Adam had a pretty good thing going, if you think about it. I mean, his home, the environment that he was, you know, created and placed into, his home was immaculate. I mean, his day job was meaningful. His title was pretty impressive. He was like CEO of the Garden of Eden. I mean, he had, you know, a purpose every day. He had incentive to work hard every day. He had a completely unhindered relationship with God. Think about this. He never had to go to the grocery store. I mean, he had everything that he could ever need right at his fingertips. But that alone sounds like paradise to me. I think I very possibly might be the world's worst grocery shopper. I don't think there's been a single trip I've made to the grocery store where I don't end up calling my wife being like, hey, you got to help me out here. I'm not really sure what this is all about, right? He's in paradise. He seemingly has everything, going. The dude had it all, and yet God said, despite everything that he did have, despite everything that he had going for him, despite everything that he had right at his fingertips, God said there was still one thing missing. Company. That there was another sphere that he didn't have filled in his life. And so we see that baked into God's plan for creation, what was this recipe of relationship and connection and community. If you back up even further, you'll see that this was the plan all along. I mean, listen to Genesis chapter 1 when God comes up with the idea of creating humanity in the first place, right? The call to community in our life, it ultimately begins on page numero uno in the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Listen to this. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Notice the use of the plural here. Let us make humans in our image to be like us. Who's he talking to? That's a great question if you're wondering, like, who exactly is he referring to? Some say it's referring to like some kind of divine council of heavenly beings. What's more likely, and what I would suggest to you, is that God saying us and our, it's ultimately a reference to the big theological idea of what we call the Trinity. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that existed together in the beginning. The Trinity is the reality that God was three persons in one, meaning that God is, in a way, a kind of relationship in and of himself. And here's the thing. If we were created, like it says, if we were created in his image, then that means that we were created in the image and in the likeness of a God who existed in community from the start. And the result is this, that we see that God's intention for humanity, it was always community. right? It was always to be connected and to be in relationship with one another. And if it's true, I would add this. If it's true that we become the sum, I've heard this before, I've said this before. If it's true that we become the sum of the five people that we spend the most amount of time with, then I would argue that the most important community for us to spend time with is a Jesus-like one. I'm not saying we don't spend time in other places. It's great for us to have relationships that we invest in with work or, you know, families on the sidelines or whatever it is. Like, it's great for us to have those. But we've got to ask ourselves, if we become the sum of the five people that we spend time most with, we've got to look, do we want to become like the people we're hanging around with? And I would argue that the people that we want to become more like are our Jesus-like community trying to build a Jesus-like life. See, I think that so often we wonder why humanity does not seem to be at its best today. We go, why the division? Why the decay? Why the separation? Why the spiritual, you know, decline? I wonder if because we have lost a little bit. We've abandoned a commitment to community and to a relationship with other people that have the potential and the ability to shape and to form our lives to look a whole lot more like Jesus. See, I think at best, or I think what we see most often is that sometimes we just try to fit community into our lives. We try to fit the people of God, or we try to fit, you know, church into our lives when it's convenient, or when it's easy, or when it feels good, or when it doesn't cost too much, or we don't have too much on our plate. And when this is the case, when we try to say, yeah, that's good stuff, I should try to fit it in, what we see is that it just never really works. It never really sticks. Nothing seems to fit at all. On the flip side, and I don't know if they were just smarter than us or if they were just like better Christians than us, but the very first Jesus followers seemed to understand the assignment. Because here's what's written about them in what is famously referred to once again as the early church. It says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which just means they came together to spend time with one another. And they committed themselves to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Skip down to verse 44. All the believers, they met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes. They shared meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The early church, these very first Jesus followers, they seemed to be convinced that forming these kinds of communities together was the only proper response to who Jesus was and what he had done for them. And so they were committed to each other, and their entire life became organized around these activities, meeting together and praying, and then the teaching and the eating and the sharing and the enjoying the company of one another, and adding more people to the mix every single day. And we got to understand, it wasn't just adding more people to the club, it was adding more people to the kingdom. That is what is happening in this early church. And so Midcurrent, here's what I'd say. If they, these very first Jesus followers, if they were to be the example for us, which, I mean, they kind of are. If they were to be the example for us, here's what I would say to you. Okay? Don't build a Jesus-like community into your life. Build a life with a Jesus-like community. Don't try to build a Jesus-like community into your life. Build a life with and alongside a Jesus-like community who is coming alongside of you. If you try to add it all into whatever margin you have left in your life, I'm not sure if it's ever going to fit, and I'm not sure if it's ever going to work the way that you or that any of us really want it to. But if you bake it in to the very fabric of what you're doing, if you bake it into the very fabric of the life that you live and the routines that you create and in the way that you want to organize your everyday life, I think the results could be life-changing. Now, I'll be real clear about something as I wrap up here. I understand that ultimately, we're kind of a far cry from the picture and from the way of life in the early church. In a lot of ways, it seems almost like impossible, maybe even comical, to think like we could do things like this once again. Sadly, for so many of us, for my family at times, sadly, I mean, that's just not the norm anymore. But here's the thing. If you were with us just a few weeks ago, you heard me say that we were not called to be normal. We were not called to just kind of live into the norm. We were called to be different, to set a different standard and to run at a different pace. And so while it may seem so far out of reach, what I'd like to say to you that to those of you that are here that feel invested in this place, it might feel out of reach, but what I'd like to say to you is like, let's like at least give it a try. Let's see what it would look like to try to build our life from the beginning around the things that matter most. And I would say a couple things then. Number one, it starts, this isn't the only thing, trust me, but it starts with Sunday. This gathering, not trying to just add it into your life when it works out, but building your life around a regular rhythm of worship and prayer with the people of God. And I should be clear about something when it comes to this too. It's not for our benefit that we like want you here and that we say like come to church. I mean, if I'm being really honest with you, in a lot of ways, if more people come more regularly here, it just means more work for us. Just means more problems, okay? This is not like a self-serving ask. Like, you got to cut. That doesn't do anything for us. It just creates more work for us to do. But it's still the request that we're making of you because we believe that there's something powerful about being a part of the people of God. We believe that the people of God that exist here could have an impact on your life that you didn't see coming. And so this is a big piece of it, but this is not only it. This is just kind of the biggest and the first domino to fall that sets all the rest in motion. But the reality is it's so much more than this. As Midcurrent gets bigger and we're growing bigger every day, we got to make sure that we're getting smaller at the same time, on Monday through Saturday. Groups that we form here, either, the stuff that we set up or the people that you just naturally, find yourself in alignment with and in community with. And again, here's what I'd say. The goal should not be to kind of look at what's happening and try to like tack something onto your life. Well, that sounds nice. I'll try to add that into it. The goal is not to try to tack something onto your life when it comes to, people that we're connecting with. That the goal would be to try to incorporate into the very fabric of your life a group of people that you want to do life with in your everyday world and everyday routine. And I get it. I know that for a lot of us, this isn't going to happen like overnight. We're trying to create, we're trying to set up groups here, whether it's like some large group environments where we create smaller group settings inside here at church, or whether it's, things in your home or what. We're trying to set some stuff up. A lot of people just kind of find their own thing. That's great. Whatever it is, we got to figure out how to do, not add a Jesus-like community to our life, but build a life with a Jesus-like community. And here's the thing I recognize, that it's not going to just happen overnight. But what I want to say is, or kind of dream about is like, what if we all started to take one small step toward it today? What if we made some attempt to just like kind of surgically, and that's a lot, I mean, based on the way that things are working, that's what's going to take. What if we just made some small attempt as a church to like figure out how we like surgically insert into our life a space and a time and a commitment to the people of God and to what they could do for us? What if we made some small attempt to build it into our life? Now, don't get me wrong. Once again, I understand the challenges of all this, especially if I bring it back to the reality of friendship and loneliness and some of the things that are challenging us in the world today. I understand that the difficulty of sometimes even getting yourself up for trying to make this a commitment, to open yourself up to the people of God. I understand the challenges. In fact, if I could be real honest with you just for a second, if I pulled the curtain back for you in my own life for just a little bit, I could admit to you that I've had an interesting couple years navigating some scenarios in my own personal and social life. And I'm not proud of this, but what I've come to realize is that the solution that I've come up with, I didn't choose this in the moment, but as I look back at kind of what's happened, I realized the solution that I came up with to some of these scenarios was isolation. Right? Out of a sense that like maybe I needed to protect myself, I just kind of like turned off to most things happening around me. I turned pretty inward. And while it felt right in the moment, and maybe it was necessary for a time, what I've come to realize is that if I'm not careful, this safety net that I put up around me, it's starting to squeeze the life out of me. And I just wonder how many of you would maybe say the same thing is true of you, that some kind of safety measure that you put into place to protect you, I wonder if it's squeezing the life out of you too. Maybe you tried to find your people and it didn't work, so now you've just, you just kind of keep to yourself. The walls go up, protection goes up. Or maybe you had some people, but you wound up getting hurt, and so the walls go up and you put the protection around you. Or maybe you're like kind of have something going right now with some people, but it's getting messy, and so your tendency is to think, I better just kind of like exit the scene before things get really, messy. And so the protection goes up. And I just wonder if maybe you've noticed or ever sensed that maybe your own self-protection is starting to squeeze the life out of you too. And here's what I would say, gang, neither you or I can afford to let that happen. This last week, thinking about all this stuff, the image of what I thought I knew of a butterfly came to my mind this week. Here's what I knew. I suppose you know too. A butterfly doesn't become a butterfly without the time that it spends in its cocoon. It's a silky-like casing that does what? It protects the butterfly during this significant part of its development from one thing to another. Here's what I knew too, and maybe you knew too, that if a butterfly stays inside that thing that was designed to protect it, if it stays inside for too long, it dies. Now, here's the part that I didn't know that I found even more fascinating. A butterfly actually develops the strength that it needs to fly while it's breaking out of its protective cocoon. The struggle that it experiences forcing its body through this small opening in the cocoon, it's what pumps fluid from its abdomen into its wings, causing them to expand and to harden. And here's the deal. Without that struggle, without that process, the wings would remain too weak to support any kind of flight. And so Midcurrent, here's what I'm saying. What if the same kind of struggle, what if the same kind of, even if it was difficult, what if the same kind of commitment, and what if the same kind of discipline in our life to organize our life around the people of God, what if it was the very same process that gave you, that gave us the strength to spread your wings and fly? If so, here's a question that I'll close with today. Is there any rearranging? Is there any reordering that you could do this month, this year, to create the space in your life? Maybe the people aren't there yet, but is there any rearranging? Is there any reordering that you could do to create the space for the people of God to fill your life and to help you build a Jesus-like life right alongside of you? It could be the beginning of what God intended from the very beginning. For you and for me. Let's pray together. God, would you help us to do like a little examination, a little audit of our life. Help us to see, God, maybe where we need to do some reordering. Not because we've done anything horrible or because we've been so bad, but just because we haven't built stuff in the right order, God. And God, for all of us, certainly, God, but especially for any of us who, I gotta think it's a lot of us, God, if there's any part of us that's saying, yeah, I do feel that kind of loneliness. We might be surrounded by people all day long, God, but if we don't have the right pieces filled in every part of our life and we go, yeah, I think I'm feeling that, God, would you help us to know how and where exactly what we need to do in order to create more space and to organize our life around the people of God that could help us build the life that you intended. God, help us to see what it's going to take. Give us the strength, give us the courage to start building that kind of life with a Jesus-like community alongside, little by little. And God, we pray that we might experience life to the full, life as you intended, that brings a whole lot of peace and joy in our life, that we know you intended for us from the very beginning as well. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Midcurrent is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin.